Matthew chapter 10 is where we're going to be tonight, so find that if you will, and we will pick up where we left off. Believe it or not, I think it's been over a month ago that we were in Matthew chapter 10. We did not finish that night. I've got a quick review. We're talking about the subject of Jesus' church, and we're just going to get right into this tonight for the time that we have left here in the service. Now, as you read through chapter 10, remember, he had just called unto him his 12 disciples, and that's the definition of church, ecclesia, in your Bible, a called out assembly. And then he sent them forth. They were apostles. He named them, he called them apostles, and the word apostle means one sent forth. And as you read through chapter 10, you read where Jesus gives some instruction and information to this called out group. And we see what Jesus told them still impacts the church today, the church as we know it today. Number one on your sheet, these were the ones we talked about four weeks ago. The church was to go and preach to the lost. The church was to go and preach to the lost. Now, that was in verses 5 through 7. That is not the only responsibility of the local church, but it is the main responsibility. And it is the first responsibility, go and preach to the lost. Second thing, the church was given power to work sign gifts. Now, those are not in operation anymore because we now have a completed Bible. That's all the sign you and I are going to get, the completed Word of God. But they were given the power to work sign gifts. That's because they remember they were sent not to anybody but who? The lost sheep of the children of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles, go to the Samaritans, go to the Jews. And the Jews require a sign. Okay, so they were given sign gifts. Number three, the church's sent ones would have their needs met by those they helped. Their church's sent ones would have their needs met by those they helped as they went from place to place, village to village, town to town. If they found a worthy house, they would go in it, stay there, take whatever they give you. If they were unworthy, how was that defined by Jesus? If they didn't hear what you had to say. If they didn't hear what you had to say, they were unworthy. And so the church's sent ones would have their needs met by those they helped. You see the beginning of what we know as a church taking care of its pastor and pastoral staff right here, okay? Number four, the church was to invest time into those who would listen. Verses 11 through 15, Jesus talks about that. And he said, you know, some are not going to listen, and if they don't, you shake the dust off your feet and you move on. And folks, the truth of the matter is, you and I encounter the same today as we go out with the gospel message. Some will listen, some will not. So we're not suffering persecution because somebody, as happened yesterday when the ladies were out passing, I don't know what it is about Jesse Kent and Jessica Angel, but they draw the ire of people when they're out. Do you know what causes that, Frank? Maybe you better not talk. Okay, better. When you took your glasses off and got rid of that, I said, whoops, that was the wrong question to ask. But anyway, they got yelled at by this woman, this odious woman was yelling, just yelling and yelling and yelling. And you know what? That didn't start now. That didn't start in our generation. That started way back in the first century when Jesus sent these ones out. Hey, some are not going to listen to you. Just move on. Just move on. Number five, the church was to expect persecution. We talked about that. Jesus said, in fact, that he sent them forth as what? Sheep in the midst of wolves. Now that's pretty bad, all right? And he told them, he said, you'd be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So that's the five that we looked at. Now, immediately after he tells them the church was to expect persecution. Number six on your sheet, in verses 26 through 31, the church was to trust the Father and not fear man. The church was to trust the Father and not fear man. So get that filled in on number six there and look at verse number 26. Look at verse number 26 with me. Ready? Fear them not, therefore. Okay? Fear them not, therefore. He talks about who the people he's talking about. He's talking about in verse number five. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which they did, they called Jesus that, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore. Look at verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. That's mankind. Look at verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore. So three times they were told not to fear man or what man could do to them. That's immediately after Jesus told them to expect persecution. So you can expect persecution, but don't fear those who are against you. Now, obviously, folks, if Jesus tells them three times not to fear man, then it's pretty obvious, okay? Number seven on your sheet, Satan uses man to try and put fear in the hearts of God's people. I mean, three times Jesus told them, fear not, fear not, fear not, what man says or what man can do to you. So it's obvious that Satan uses man to try and put fear in the hearts of God's people. Tell me we don't have a relevant Bible. That's pertinent for our time. And I've said over and over again through all of this for over a year now, for a year, I'm trying to balance between what I bring from the pulpit. I'm trying to balance between not ignoring what is happening in our world while remembering that God's work will go forward. Jesus said, occupy till I come. So I'm not going to ignore what's happening, nor are we going to stop what God called us to do. So I have a couple of things to show you tonight by way of media. First of all, I'll show you a picture. Maybe you've seen this. This man that you're looking at right here is Pastor Jason Coates, okay? James Coates. He pastors up in Alberta, Canada. On February 14th, they held a church service, and after that, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police asked him to turn himself in for holding a church service that was against the COVID regulations, and he was jailed for 1 month. That's not an old man. That's a young man. He was jailed for 1 month. By the way, during that month, he was let out of his jail cell for 30 minutes a day. That's it. For holding church services. He went to jail because he would not commit to ceasing his services. He stood before the judge and he said, and I'm quoting his words, "I'm simply here in obedience to Jesus Christ. And it's my obedience to Christ that has put me at odds with the law." Now, he's since been released, but he has a court date in May. This is in Alberta, Canada. Canada, our neighbors to the north, not very good right now. Now, some of you may have seen that, so that's, I just wanted to see you. See, look, this is the generation, it's the young men that we have to prepare to face what we've been talking is going to come. And it's already here. And he's in jail for holding a church service. He's not a Baptist. The name of his church is Grace Life. Sounds interdenominational to me, but I respect him for standing. For standing. Now, I'll show you a video. Also took place in Alberta, Canada. This man is my new hero in life. I love him, okay? This is my new hero. Superman, don't have anything on this guy. So we're going to get that up, and I'm going to show you, same place, Alberta, Canada, and show you that there, okay?
Please get out. Get out of this
property. We need a video.
Immediately get out.
Okay, go back, start it over again, please.
Get out of this property immediately.
Anyway, I'm going to see it.
I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately.
Okay.
Please get out.
This is a church service.
Get out of this property.
This past weekend.
Immediately get out. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property. Immediately out. Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this property, you Nazis. Out. Out. Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out. Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communist, fascist. Don't you dare coming back here.
Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year. And they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths?
That's good, right there.
It's beyond me. Wow. Wow. How dared.
Amen. He's my hero. He is Polish. Where'd he come from? They know what it's like. The business owner up in Michigan that was led away in handcuffs was Romanian. They know what it's like. We're frogs boiled in water. You think, well, that's not what? That's not what? Under this administration? So, that was a health official accompanied by police officers. And he ran them out. And I say amen. And if it happens here, now I know what to do. Yeah, but the great thing about it, you couldn't understand a thing. You could understand him, though. I'm even going to say, unbelievable! That's what I'm going to say. Now, look. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. He told these people, you trust the Father, not don't you fear man. And then he used the example of how small and insignificant a sparrow is in verse number 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? You pass a dead bird on the side of the road, do you understand that God's been there? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You think about that. Number 8, Jesus told his people the hairs of their head were numbered, and not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing. Now, people, if he knows the number of hairs, and they're all numbered, there goes number 238. I mean, you know, number 8, the followers of Christ, he just told them to expect persecution, but they needed to know they were of more value to God than sparrows. And so Jesus went right into this whole thing, part of the chapter here. God would take care of them. They should trust in him. By the way, has it always turned out good? That church, the young pastor, Coates, just saw a picture 10 minutes before I walked out of the office. Just saw a picture. They got a chain link fence surrounding his church. They closed it. The police. They put a chain link fence around his church in Canada with locks. That's right. That's right up here. So it doesn't always turn out great, but you can't fear man. I'd fear that pastor more than I'd fear the police. I really would. Seriously. I mean, that was tremendous. He's my hero. I think he's great. Yeah. All right. So the church was to trust the Father and not fear man. And people, without trying to balance what we know from the Bible about God's on the throne and God's work, we're going to take a stand. Taking a stand is going to cost something that it hasn't cost previously. You got to reckon with that. You stick your head in the sand about it if you want to, but that would be foolish. You got to reckon with it in your mind. Get it in here that I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand for right. I'm going to stand for God, what God says. Okay? Number 7, let's get through with this tonight. The church was to love God more than family. The church was to love God more than family. That's number 10 on your sheet. That's verses 32 through 38. Jesus said to this group that he's sending out, he's called them together, and he's sending them out. But whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoever denies me, those will I deny. And then he says this, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Doesn't that kind of, the ecumenical crowd doesn't get that. I didn't come to send peace. I came to send a sword. Now look at what he said in verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Oh my goodness. And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Unfortunately, Jesus Christ would be a point of division among family members. Because not all members of the family are going to give their hearts and their lives to Jesus. And if you're going to be true to Jesus and live for Him, like we talked about Sunday morning, no more henceforth, not one day further, are we supposed to live to ourselves after salvation. So if you're going to be true to Christ and you're going to have family that is not going to be true to Christ, a man's foes, in verse number 36, shall be they of his own household. Now, that's not fun. But number 11 on your sheet, loyalty to Christ is expected of God's people even when it results in division among family members. Loyalty to Christ is expected of God's people even when it results in division. Look, there's no merit in making enemies among family members and glorying in it. I don't have any relationship with my parents because they don't love Jesus. Well, okay, you know what? That may be the end result. Don't glory in that. There's no glory in it, friend. But number 12, your stand for Christ will be the proof of who we love more. Our stand for Christ will be the proof of who we love more, family or Jesus. When it comes to loyalty to Christ, there are going to be situations where division will result. I know that has been an issue for some people here in our church. I know it has. Joyce and I haven't had to experience that in our family. We're not real close to many on her side, some on her side who are not saved and don't live for the Lord. We're not real close to the extended relatives. But in our immediate family, neither one of us have had to have too much difficulty with this. But I know some of you have. And, you know, all efforts should be invested in keeping ties with the family. But when it comes down to God and the Bible, Christ expects your loyalty amongst family members. My wife was speaking with a pastor's wife this afternoon. The pastor's wife married children, and they've gone a different direction from how they were raised. And done some things recently that just broke the pastor's wife's heart. And she said this. She said, I am tempted to do what they're doing just so I can fit in with my married kids. But I'm not going to do that because I'm going to live for the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're not having trouble with family, you can say amen. But when you're in that cauldron, that's a different story, folks. That takes a lot of faith and a lot of loyalty to Christ. But that's what Jesus said would happen. Number eight on my sheet. Number 13 on your paper. The church was to be rewarded for their labor. The church was to be rewarded for their labor. That's in verses 39 through 42. He that findeth his life shall lose it. There's that principle that's mentioned, I think, five or six times in the Gospels. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. God rewards those who live for Him. When we lose our life for the purpose of living for Him, then we find what real life is all about. That's number 14 on your sheet. When we lose our life for the purpose of living for Him, then we find what real life is all about. We never find life by going after it for ourselves. We find life by losing our life for Christ's sake. Okay? And we will not lose the reward that comes with living for Him. Now, obviously, there are some things that are not apples to apples in the comparison to Jesus on earth with this called out assembly and what you and I have now. But you can see the foundation of our purpose. You can see the foundation of our practice in what Jesus told those who were called out. Called out to assemble, called out assembly, and then sent them out into the world to live for Him. You know, number 15, I just wrote it in as a last point. There are reasons we are like we are, believe like we believe, and do what we do. There are reasons. And you can see the foundation of some of a lot of what we do as a church today in what Jesus told these people in this called out assembly that He gathered around Him on planet Earth. We're talking about His church. And so that is a quick review of where we were. And then the three that I did not want to get into a new section of this series tonight. I wanted to finish up with this. And I figured we would have just enough time to do that. And we do. So, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And is it in your head, folk? Better yet, is it in your heart? That regardless of what comes, you're not going to fear man, but God. I know it's not a church like ours, not a Baptist church, but that church service was interrupted by authorities, human authorities. The church was meeting under the supreme authority, Jesus Christ's command. Do you have it in your head? Do you have it in your heart? Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Naomi to come to the piano. Quickly, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to just take a minute tonight and let you respond if God spoke to your heart about this very important matter of being loyal to Christ, of being ready to stand when the day comes, because it will. Is that in your head? Is that in your heart? As she begins to play now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know we don't normally take time for this on Wednesday, but I just felt led tonight. We'll take a minute. Our Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. It's easy to stand here tonight and get a chuckle from a video, but Lord, it would have been a pretty tense situation had we been there on that property in Canada this past weekend. And someday it may come here in some way, shape, or form. I don't know. But I pray that You'll help us as Your people to trust You and not fear man. Help us, Lord, to be loyal to You. Even when the division runs too close, so close, it's in our own family. Lord Jesus, I think those days are upon us. I just pray that you'll give us grace to be faithful to you. We're not proud. We're not trying to be haughty. We just want to finish our course well for your sake, keeping the faith, fighting a good fight. In Jesus' name, amen.